Location, the lab. Quentin only has 24 hours to sell his car. Is that even possible? He goes to Carvana.com.
What is this, a movie trailer?
He ignores the doubters, enters his license plate. Wow, that's a great offer. The car is sold, but will Carvana pick it up in time for...
They'll literally pick it up tomorrow morning. Done with the dramatics?
Car selling in record time.
Save your time. Go to Carvana.com and sell your car today. Pickup fees may apply.
Hello, and welcome back to the Pretty Little Podcast. We're your hosts.
My name's Phoebe.
And my name is Caroline. And today, y'all, we are recapping the finale for season 6 of Pretty Little Liars. And I don't know for sure, but in my heart, it feels like the title is Hush, Hush, Little Bitches. Am I dead on?
Am I really completely spot on?
What is it?
That was probably the working title for a long time. It's just Hush, Hush, Sweet Liars.
Oh.
No profanity.
They're like, we're using bitch in the first episode of season 7, so we can't use bitch in the last episode of season 6. Because then if we do that, every single episode in season 7. Yes, it is the first. Yeah, it's, I have it here, the title of the next episode, season 7, episode 1, is called TikTok Bitches. So there, I guess that's why. Man. I thought it was Hush, Hush, Bitches. And that would have been kind of funny. Wow. If the title for this episode was Hush, Hush, Bitches, and the next title was TikTok Bitches. And the next one was Wake Up in the Morning Feeling Like a Bitch. Which is really what Kesha should have changed the lyrics to. Oh, my God. Guys, I can't really believe it, but we are at the end of season 6. Much to me and Phoebe's surprise, as you may know. Bit of a shock over here.
We thought we had like 5 episodes left.
We had like 5 more weeks. So, and we're like, no one told us, as if it's not just like public knowledge, as if we should. My job.
No, I was saying your job, as if it was your job to the audience.
Okay. Talking to the...
Well, but you guys have kind of made it your job in a way, because you did tell us how many episodes are left in the season, which then does come back on us, because we should have done that math.
Yeah, so Phoebe was getting accusatory, quickly walked it back, accused us again. She realized there's really no one to blame except the man in the mirror.
I was going to accuse us all along. It was going to come back to us all along.
And that is something we like to do.
Yes.
We love to accuse each other and ourselves.
Guys, I watched this episode on Friday night. Thursday night, maybe.
This is going to be a trip. Can I say...
It's been like a week.
Before Phoebe gets into the recap, I want to talk a little bit about what April's going to look like for the Pretty Little Podcast, so you guys understand what's coming. So this is obviously the finale of season 6. Next week, if you can freaking believe it, is 3 years of the Pretty Little Podcast. April 14th, it's also my 30th birthday, but that is 3 years. And so we are doing a special episode for that. It's going to be a one episode week next week. Sorry, you'll be okay. It's going to be 30 things I learned by 30, but it's a convo between me and Phoebe.
We say you'll be okay. It was also a one episode week this week.
That's why I'm saying you'll be okay, because it's 2 one episode weeks. But that's okay, because it used to always be a one episode week. And let's not forget. Okay. Anyway, so we're doing 30 things I learned by 30. I hope you will all listen. Even if you're not a podcast listener, that's an episode that you'll like. If you just listen to Thursdays, if you're just a cast member, you will, not just, but you know what I mean, you will like it. So that is going to be next week, and that's going to come out on Wednesday, April 16th. So it's not a Tuesday, not a Thursday. Okay. Then the next week, we will be back to our regularly scheduled podcast programming. So the Tuesday afterwards, I think it's the 22nd. Oh, yeah, because it's Earth Day. So, of course, we'll be back for Earth Day, and we're doing a podcast. And then that Thursday, we are doing a Pretty Little Punch Bowl. So we are releasing, I don't know which one yet, but one of our Punch Bowl episodes from the Patreon, and that will be the Thursday episode. And then on May 1st, we are premiering season 7. Okay, so you guys have a little bit of a break, but not a break from our voices. There are still episodes to be listening to. And then, of course, we've got a podcast on the Patreon this weekend. Next week, we've got another Pretty Little Punch Bowl, and then we'll have a pilot at the end of the month as well. So still lots of episodes, lots of content. And if you're missing us during these one episode weeks, there are like almost 100 episodes on Patreon, and you can get your fill, I promise. So that is my spiel. Phoebe's laughing like I'm like being evil. I'm actually being nice by letting them know, hey, prepare yourselves. Gird your loins, okay? Things are a little bit diff this month, but it's going to be worth it. So, okay. Now you can do the recap.
All right.
Better Nicole, be good.
Nicole is Ezra's MIA humanitarian girlfriend who Arya hates and resents.
And so Arya is Ezra's not MIA humanitarian girlfriend. Self-titled humanitarian.
She is probably like, every time Nicole is referred to as a humanitarian, Arya's like, well, I mean, so am I, but I don't want to be all showy about it.
Yeah, I didn't have to go across the world to do humanitarian acts, but that's okay. Some people find it easier to really make a big deal out of it, and that's okay.
So Arya and Ezra are working on a book, and Jillian needs to see it. And that's that. And that's
that. And Jillian needs to see it.
She needs to see it because she's like, what's going on here?
Can't blame her.
I was kind of weirded out when I found out that Arya ghost wrote 3 chapters of Ezra's book, but now I maybe am into it, but I am going to need to see some more.
Yeah, I'm going to
to be fully into it. Lucas is rich and offers Hannah. Basically, he's back in Rosewood to look at all these abandoned factories. And he's like, Hannah, what would you make it? By the way, I bought this for you. By the way, I changed my name to Jay Gatsby. And you're my Daisy.
I only threw this party for you.
Yeah. And Hannah's like, no, but maybe. And then showers back in the Radley under a new name. And I do just want to note, I noted this in my notes, and I noted this when I watched this recap, is that Shower kind of has like a look to her.
Well, that's for sure. Like, I think it's probably like, the platinum like blonde bowl cut and the gloves. I would bet it's those two things.
I just think you might need more than a fake name to check back into a hotel that you were thrown out of because you loudly and maybe physically accosted the staff of the hotel.
Perhaps.
And you're just
she
like
could
back there. We watched her check in looking like Shower. No sunglasses on, just Shower. Frightening.
She's like, it's a hotel. People are coming and going all the time.
Sorry, Clayton Eckerd, don't make a video about me coming for someone's looks when I just said that.
If you want to hear our takes on the Gabby and Clayton drums, then you're going to want to tune into the podcast this weekend because we're talking about it.
Literally. So
hey, Clayton, give me a break.
Literally. If you're going
to
do what you're
some
doing,
people need to be bullied. Just kidding.
You need to be. No, but I'm just saying, like, if you're going to be doing what you're doing, you need to be able to take a little bit of criticism.
Yes. Yeah. I mean, I guess he gets a lot of criticism, so he probably, like, takes some of it. But I'm like, really? You don't think Gabby's earned it? You don't think Gabby's earned the right to be a little critical of you? And even, dare I say, mean? I think she's earned it.
And also, you know that girl is capable of being much meaner.
Yeah, you're so honestly lucky, and I wouldn't push my luck, okay? No. I would watch it. Anyway.
So Shower's back at the Radley. Her handler got her a new copy of Radley, like the Radley floor plans, so that she can get back to work now that she's you know, tried to let the water cool down a little bit at the Radley. She's back and she's ready to be in action. And then Arya has to tell Ezra what's going on because of Allie's little tumble, and she's like, it was not an accident. Kind of like what happened to me is not an accident either, because
I did it to myself on purpose.
and Lucas literally Lucas has the footage to show it,
and Lucas helped me do it. Okay.
And they're gonna do something about it, and what they're gonna do about it is have Hannah confess to the murder to trap A. And Hannah's in Emily's words, you're setting up a mousetrap and you're the cheese.
And so true.
Hannah's like, yeah, well, none of you are ever going to offer to do it. So I'm going to do it. And she's like, and I'm kind of like into Caleb again. And this is kind of my way back in. So it's going to be us against the world. Sorry, Spence. And yeah. Oh, also Spencer's crashing out.
Completely. And Spencer, if you're a real one, you'll be like, you know what? You guys are meant to be. And just shut up and let it be.
And actually, this was all an experiment just to get Hannah back with Caleb.
Yeah, that's all this was. So, all right, we begin. Everyone is at Lucas's loft. We are in the aftermath of Hannah sending that text to A. So we're sort of And I'm going to call this person A until we get our name for this person, which is coming in this episode. And
I'm like, how did we never come up with that?
How did we, you and me? And this is why, honestly, you guys, like, yes, do we know these women, these liars better than anybody else on earth, better than their own parents? Of course. But this is why we weren't in the writer's room. Because we didn't think of that. And you'll know what that is in just a few scenes,
really,
okay?
And we
should have. Yeah,
if we had been in the writer's room, we wouldn't have had A texting the way A is texting.
You know what? Good point. Hey, good
so
point.
We wouldn't have had to.
A would have had Bitmojis if we were in the writer's room, okay? And she'd have a new outfit every episode and they'd know exactly who A was because it would be lifelike. And you're like, that's not the point. And I'm like, I don't care. That's what I would have done. Oh my god.
So we're in like this post-text awkward silence. Everybody's kind of like, is Hannah about to be like, why did I just do that? Why did I just send a text so that my digital footprint now looks like a bloody footprint?
Yeah, I'm kind of feeling like that. I'm kind of feeling like, why did you do that? Even though I love you.
And I don't like it. Maybe she thought that the voice text would be like, she's like, they disappear after
she's
2 minutes.
Yeah, she's like, it's like a voice note. So one thing I thought was funny is Aria, in the beginning of the scene, is like on the phone with somebody in the corner and she comes back over. She was on the phone with Allison, who is coming home, and Elliot is going to go to Chicago for the conference and blah, blah, blah. But what I just think is funny is last episode, Aria is like, why would you go visit Allison? She's literally coming home tomorrow. And now Aria is like, okay, so Hannah actually went. So now in the good friend contest, I'm losing. So I better get on the phone and call Allie and be like, well, I have an ear on the ground. I know what Allie's doing. So I'll let the girls know. They're wrapped up in their own drama. You know how they are. You know how Hannah is. That's like Aria's whole plot. Emily's like, Allie shouldn't be alone. I like Emily and Allie in this episode because it honestly is feeling, which I feel like I needed to see them get to this place so that I can root for them as a romantic couple in this next season, even though I know it's not like a happy ending. I don't know what happens, but like,
hey, in the context of this show, it is a happy
ending. Okay, good. I just meant for like, I know that like they don't end up together, but I know that they're going to be romantic. And like, I think I wanted to see them get to a place of like, good platonic friendship where it seems that they both respect each other and love each other. And like Emily doesn't seem like in her feels the same way anymore. And I don't know if it's because Allie got married or if it's because Allie's like evolved. But in this episode, I felt like at the end, when we get the moments between Allie and Emily, it really does seem like two friends who are like, the past is the past. They're not thinking about a romantic bond. And so Emily feels less like...
There's less of a power imbalance.
Yeah, exactly. I think Emily feels like it's like more equal footing. And I think when you add romance in, it's like hard to stay on the equal footing. If one of you is like a tormentor like Allie and one of you is a sweet angel cherub like Emily. Anyway, you know what I mean, though? I feel like it's nice to see them
Emily's
here.
Emily's able to just be like the good friend Emily is without it having any sort of undertones
and
that Allie can take advantage of.
Yeah, and Allie's like accepting it and also like just not like there are no games. And I think I needed to see them there because if they were to get together straight out of like turmoil, straight out of Emily, the way she's been this season, like, fuck, why the fuck am I the only one getting the calls from Allie? Oh my God. Like, if I had that Emily who jumped into a relationship with Allie, I'd be like, oh God, like, I'm worried. But it's kind of nice to see them, like, here. You know what I mean?
Yes. Yes. So A texts Hannah and says, if you're lying, I gun emoji all of you. And I'm like,
and it's not the water gun.
Original sin. If this was original sin, it would have said unalive. I'm
oh my God. Either that or it would have said, or it would have been the water gun. Cause you know, they changed it. We no longer get the old classic revolver. It's interesting that we can get more gun control on the emoji keyboard than we can in the United States of America. All right. That's as political as I'll get today until we talk about Vivi Hastings run for Senate. Then I'm getting back into my politician
and
bag.
And that is a race that I'm really passionate about.
I'm really passionate. Phoebe actually, yes, she made calls. She made calls.
Phone banked for Phoebe Hastings.
She phone banked for Phoebe Hastings.
A shirt that says I phone banked for Phoebe Hastings.
Can you write that down right now? I think we should do a merch drop for season 7. I did just message Sasha Peterson and say like, hey, do you want to come on for our first episode of season 7? But if that falls through,
if that falls through, if she ends up not being able to make it.
Merch drop. I mean, hey, Fee, with my luck, who knows? Honestly, who knows? You guys are going to hear about my epic freaking time in Charleston on the podcast on Friday on the Patreon. And I'm giving uncensored takes behind the paywall.
Oh. Wow.
Anyway.
So Spencer's like, Hannah, are you sure you want to do this? Because now Spencer's life is on the line.
Good point. Because I was like, okay, this is unlike you, Spence. Like, I'm a little bit.
No, but it is. Spencer is giving a little bit. Like, she's trying. She's not crashing out so much anymore.
No. She's
more like, she's trying to be like.
Well, you know, and chill. What that might be, what that really might be is that she is like, well, I'll just go fuck with Toby. Like, it's, you know what, if Caleb's going to do this with Hannah.
Like, she's like, this is all going to be fine because tomorrow I'm hanging out with Toby. So,
yeah, tomorrow.
And I'm going to wear my slutty underwear.
Absolutely.
Slutty underwear.
And Caleb's going to know it. And you know what? I'm going to do a little power play where Caleb sees me put on my slutty underwear to go climb down a ladder above Toby. And then let's see if Caleb and Hannah are still so hot and heavy. Yeah.
And to answer that question,
they will be. So Spencer kind of likes to just say back out, and Hannah's like, I trust Caleb. And that's when Spencer kind of like looks at Caleb, looks at Hannah, and she says, I trust him too.
I do too.
Oh,
hey,
I wouldn't.
Do too.
Oh, I'm okay. And everyone's kind of like, what the fuck? Yeah, everyone's kind of looking around like, so what was that? Did we all see that? What a weird night for us. And then Hannah's like, okay, I'm going to show up, just me alone. Or she goes, I'm going to call 911. I'm going to call the police and turn myself in.
She said, it's true. ... I'll call the cops.
And A says, no police. But instead of police, it's the pig wearing a cop hat emoji.
And this is how I'm like, okay, A got access to the sticker keyboard before any of us.
Before any of us. Just like
they've been making like drawing on Canva their own sketches and then copying and pasting and adding the sticker to their keyboard.
100%.
Which I did with the Parker Posey thumbs up from the White Lotus.
Wait, that's a good idea. I should do that. But I don't really know how. You'll teach me. All right, so. Yeah,
well, you have to hack the mainframe first.
Well, that's easy. That's the easy part.
It's going to take you hours.
Okay, shut the fuck up. No, it isn't. So A responds and says, yeah, no police. This is between you and me. And Hannah's like, I need one more day. And A says, it'll be your last. I'm like, so Hannah's walking into certain death? Is that what you're telling me here? You guys are letting Hannah walk into certain death. I don't know that Hannah knew that's what she signed up for.
But I am kind of glad that we raised the stakes up to this because I really needed to see that reaction from Caleb later.
Oh my God, Phoebe, Caleb's reaction later, I was like, and this is true love. I mean, the butterflies coursing through my body. We'll get there, but holy moly. So we go back to the De Laurentiis dungeon. Elliot is taking care of his wife, Allison. She's resting on the couch, and it's giving when my husband, Anthony, fell down the steps, and it was all we talked about. Actually, we still talk about it. He loves to be like, you know, my
guys,
accident.
To be fair, guys, the stairs that he fell down in Caroline's house lead to pure concrete and a cinder block wall. That's
true.
Only like 2 feet, but there's only about foot and a half between the last stair and the cinder block wall.
Totally true.
And there's a lot of them. There are probably at least 20 steep steps. So.
So anyway, he fell down them and then he made it his whole personality. Literally, it was Thanksgiving the next week. He flies down. I drive down the 10-hour car ride alone with Charleston, his first road trip. And we come all the way down here. Anthony comes down. He's on muscle relaxers the whole freaking time. I'm like, Jesus Christ. I didn't know. Like, oh, my God. And I mean,
Posey,
it was giving Humpty Dumpty.
In Charleston.
Oh, or that. I mean, I just like fell off the wall, had a great fall. You know what I mean? Like,
well, he did have a great fall.
Yeah. So anyway, and Anthony will still be like, oh, remember my accident? Still bring it up, which is funny. But like, he milked that for all it was worth. I mean, no, if it had happened to me, I would have done way more. But it didn't happen to me. So
Caroline would have been in the ICU.
it didn't happen to me.
By her own request. Or like, we normally don't like take requests.
I don't like to go to the doctor. So I would have like made a big scene about like, what is going on?
Oh my God, they're getting the neighbors across the street.
Like, oh no, dude, literally, the entire house is just shaking because there's a helicopter.
I hope everyone's okay on the beach.
Like, I'm not kidding. I thought there was like an earthquake. I don't think they are because there was another helicopter before we started. And I was like, good thing you're here now and not when I'm recording. And earlier there were lots of sirens. So sounds like there's trouble.
There's a noise ordinance across all of Isle of Palms
when we record. Yeah, of course. Okay, so Elliot's taking care of Allison, and he's like saying that he feels responsible for Cece, and Allie's saying she misses her every day. And Jason is still working at the Karasimi group and like filled Elian. Oh my God, filled Elliot in.
Which I am a little bit like, wait, I thought that we were like the Karasimi group is like not a sham. Really as connected to the De Laurentiises as we thought. Like I'm very confused by that, but they had to get it in there because it creates a motive later.
And when he says all the money is going to help people and like this is a good tribute to Charlotte, I'm like, what money? The money that Hannah didn't take. Like, I don't know what money.
I think it would be a fund similar to what Hannah would have been getting the money from, but I think it's just in Charlotte's name. So it's like, if you were to like apply for a I think the idea is that it'd be a scholarship.
Okay.
But I just didn't, I thought that I was confused by the De Laurentiis.
Yeah. Well, this aspect. Is one of the only times that I've been like, oh, what a sweet, genuine moment between them. And I mean, I was proven wrong about that very quickly. And I was also proven right, which guys, I love nothing more than being right. And I was right two times this episode. I was right two times. And one of them you don't even know about because Phoebe bleeped it out because I told her to last week. But I was freaking right. I was on the freaking money. So we'll get there.
Honestly, I'm looking back on that. I'm impressed that I did bleep that out. I wasn't going to.
You weren't going to. I'm glad you did too, because it would have been a spoiler.
Well, I was just like, who cares? Caroline is so concerned about spoilers on this podcast. I am not.
Because there are, I know you're not, because frankly, you're like at risk of having the show spoiled for you too. You don't remember anything that's happened. So how could you be concerned about spoilers? But what I'm concerned about is that there are people who like our podcast because we don't do spoilers. Because like I haven't seen it all. And I've seen chatter about our show where they're like, yeah, it's like there's some spoilers, but one of them hasn't watched. So that's why I try to be a little bit cognizant of it. But there are some things like Emily and Allison getting divorced that if you don't know that, where have you been? Where the hell have you been?
And it's in a different show. So it's not even in this timeline of this.
Oh, wait,
show,
really?
So.
Oh, when they get divorced.
Yeah, that's in Perfectionists.
Okay.
But I think it's because Shay Mitchell didn't sign on to do the show. And they were like,
They're like, okay, well, then I guess like you just divorced your wife. They're like, wow, I guess you just divorced your wife. Okay. On Freeform. Okay. So Spencer and Toby are reviewing the plans from the Radley, and Toby wears glasses now. He's in his Clark Kent era.
He looks so good.
Phoebe's drooling. He does look cute, and Spencer's like, since when are you four-eyed? And he's like, well, since I pointed to the word eclair on the menu and the waiter brought out snails, escargot.
I just have to say, why are we acting like they are middle-aged all of a sudden? They are treating this show like it is Yellow Jackets, and like these people fully have like families and lives, and then this thing that happened when they were teenagers is coming back around.
Yeah.
It's only been 5 years.
Yeah.
There aren't a lot of 24, 25-year-olds who are like, man, I need my readers.
I know. It's true. It's true. Except for Toby Kavanaugh. So, Spencer then like speaks to him in French, and he speaks back in French, and she's like, you still remember French? And he's like, good teacher. And I'm like, okay, so she taught you, I guess.
Flirting,
I guess.
We know that. That's
oh
we
my
watched
God.
That happen.
Okay. Yelling at me. Oh my God. I didn't think you'd remember that.
But you know I love Spoby.
I know, but you don't remember
all
much.
The comments on the all of the comments on the Haleb or the Spaleb stuff. They're like, well, I hated Toby. So what?
Yeah, I mean, I see a lot of Spoby fans, but I see less of them in our comments these days. Maybe it's because I'm so vocal. We used to have like Spoby forever commenting all the time. Not anymore. So there you go. Okay.
Maybe
so anyway,
they only watch the episodes where Spoby's
in it, maybe. So Sarah Shower just checked into the Radley. She asked for a room specifically on the first floor, and they're looking at the plans, and this room is right above the Radley basement. So their plan is like Toby's going to go seal Sarah's secret exit from the basement of the Radley so that she has nowhere to go once they do this plan. And Hannah is going to be waiting for her. And then they're going to go down.
Because they're still, at this point, they're still convinced it's Sarah.
Right. Okay.
Doing all of this.
And then what, Spencer and Toby are going to go down to the basement and, like, confront Sarah. But I'm like, Well, Hannah's not even close to where they think Sarah's going to be.
I think the idea is that they're getting Sarah out of the Radley.
Oh, they want Sarah locked out of the Radley, not locked in.
So that they can, while Sarah's gone with Hannah, they are able to seal Sarah's entrance to the basement, but then also figure out what's in that room that was sealed off.
Okay. And
which is what Sarah was going to be doing.
Got it.
Where they find the file later.
So Emily walks in on Caleb.
Caleb is building an electric fence. And Emily had to go buy a generator, which I find so funny. Like, Emily does not give a shit about anything. She's like, okay, yeah, I'll go to Home Depot. It's fine.
She's fine, like,
I'll go. And I'll run into all of Phoebe's friends there.
From that one time you had to go there.
Gray caulking instead to put into out... Whatever. I'm Please still, just like, imagine if I had done that.
Hey,
imagine if I had done that.
Hey, Fee, I do just want to request that, like, we don't ever say the word caulking again on the podcast or in real life.
I really try to say the L. I really try to say the L in it.
Well, you don't.
Caulking.
It sounds like caulking is what I would need you to say instead of caulking.
That's wrong. Whatever. Anyway.
Caulking?
Guys, they had me buy that to put into outdoor decking.
You didn't
decking.
Have to.
Well, I mean, I had about 10 men follow me around Home Depot. I was I'm going to have to
walk
out of
Phoebe,
here with something.
That's what happens when you walk through Home Depot in a lime green bikini. Like, you're going to get 10 absolute meatheads
it's all
following
clean.
You around.
It's
okay,
all that was clean
that,
at
no,
the
that's
time.
Fine. I'm not judging you, but I'm like, what did you expect? You know what I mean? It's like, what I'm doing right now is victim blaming. Ever heard of it? Okay, so they're gonna do that. Caleb is going to build an electric fence, and she's like, "How do you know how to do that?" He's like, "I googled it." I'm like, "I looked it up on TikTok."
Spencer.
If this were 2025, I looked it up on TikTok and I learned how to make an electric fence.
And when we figure out how things go later, it is like, okay, you did just Google it.
Okay, and now that makes sense to me. So then Hannah walks in. And they're all talking, and we go over to Spencer and Toby.
Well, Hannah's going to, but Hannah was pretending to go say her last goodbye to her mom.
Yes. Oh, yes. For the optics, Ashley wasn't aware. She was doing it so that if Sarah was watching, that's what it would look like.
Hannah, for all you know, you're fucking bugged. So, like, you had to say something to make it seem emotional. And Ashley was probably like, what the fuck?
Yeah, I'm like, what? How did that go? What did Hannah say to Ashley? Like, I would love to know. I would love to know. She's like, okay, I have to tell you something. I did throw away your Manolos, your money Manolos. That was me. that would make her emotional, I think. So Spoby, we're together, and Spencer brings Toby coffee, and their hands touch, and it's like, but I'm sorry, try.
Hannah says this one thing about the electric fence, because they're like, is this gonna like kill her? And they're like, it's not gonna kill her. And Hannah says, look, if we're right about Sarah, she deserves more than a few volts.
And like, true. But what I like that Hannah's leaving room for them not to be right, though, which is not something anybody else
that
is
it
doing.
Could kill her.
Yeah. So Spencer brings Toby coffee, and they say there's no visible door to like see the records room and the Radley basement because somebody turned it into a secret room. Oh, we already said this. And they're going to seal it. Blah, blah, blah.
And Spencer doesn't want Toby to get too involved, but he's not going to let her do it alone. And the issue is that this is obviously election night, so Toby is going to have to, like, find a way to get out of Yvonne's mom's
I'm sorry.
Party.
This is the craziest thing that's happened so far. You're telling me that Toby Kavanaugh, on the night that your girlfriend, who you're, like, you have a ring you're going to be proposing, on the night that her mother is running against your ex-girlfriend's mother for state senator, you're going to be with Spencer?
Like, and also... when he tells Yvonne that he has to go do something and she immediately guesses that it's Spencer, it's like, oh, he's been acting different since Spencer's been back
yes,
in Rosewood.
Yes, 100%.
He's like been a little weird.
100%. We're not getting all these moments with Toby, but he's not over it. Like, maybe seeing Spencer is what made him not propose to Yvonne vibes. And she's like, Spencer wanted Toby to do the prep work today so that he didn't have to, like, be there all night the next night. But he's like,
and
well,
he's
everybody
like,
would see me.
He's like, Spence, these are power tools. I'm going to need things to be like his idea was that the election day party would cover up the insane amount of noise that he would be making.
Right.
Spencer's like, you can't just do it under the cover. What's what's Cobell's quote about the darkness?
Oh, even in dusk, it is too perilous. We wait for night.
That's Spencer. That's Spencer about when Toby has to night. Go do this.
yes. And so that's the plan. Arya is writing at the loft and Z is like, well, he's gone somewhere. Where'd you go just now? Kind of moment here. He literally. Is lost in a thought. He's kind of spacing out and actually weeping. And Arya's like,
I literally wrote Ezra has a where'd you go just now moment.
Okay, we're so in sync. Arya's like,
but what I do
want to
say
is now?
They're writing. They're both there supposed to be doing their job. And of course, Arya is able to immediately get off the hook. She is immediately able to be
well,
like,
well, to be
you,
fair,
you got it.
He's got not writing here. Either. He's sitting staring into space.
Yeah, but I mean, maybe he's in a creative moment. And
oh,
Arya's
okay,
like,
okay.
Arya's like,
Arya's like, I've been using ChatGPT, okay? I've been using ChatGPT to write all my pages, and now
Ezra's
I'm kind of stressed. So yeah.
Ezra's like, do you have any idea how much water one ChatGPT search uses?
So Z's crying, and he finished the last chapter, which is actually probably why he's not writing, and he is just really realizing it's sinking in. He's never going to see her again. And I guess this writing experience is probably really therapeutic. Felt like he was getting to spend time with her again, and now it's over, so it's like... whatever, but I kind of got the vibe from Arya. She's like, wait, you're still on about this? She's a goner. We've both known that, Ezra. It's the whole point of the book. I'm literally writing from your dead girlfriend's perspective and you're still processing that she's gone? Oh my God. I'm right here, boy. She's literally like, how can you be thinking about another girl when I'm right here? She like can't believe
it. I haven't thought about Liam since I got
back to Rosewood.
Oh my
God,
you're Rosewood.
Still on about that? Nicole, what's her name? Natalie? I know it's what the book we're writing is, but I'm not writing in third person, so I know I haven't written her name. My God. Anyway, so Arya's like, listen, you've written a beautiful love story for Nicole, and then she touches his face, and I'm like, game over.
And then and then you see, I mean, Lucy Hale's hands are so small.
They're tiny. They're such small hands. I know the song's Low Hands. By the way, Ed Sheeran, I would not want to be him.
Why?
Because he's just being so made fun of online.
But I like that he's kind of in on the joke.
Well, he's on Call Her Daddy, which is insane, I think.
He's learned to, because everybody's kind of given him, like, after his first album, I feel like everybody kind of, like, He's kind of like a laughing stock,
uh-huh.
in a way.
Yeah.
A successful laughing stock.
Yeah.
But this time
laughing
around, he's kind
all
of like
the way to the bank.
Into it. Like someone posted a video using one of his songs and he commented recession indicator.
Oh, wait, I saw that. Like, and that was really
like,
funny.
He's like kind of in on things, which I think is fun.
I wonder if actually I know his team definitely was like, so Ed, our marketing strategy for your new music is we need you to go engage with every negative thing about you online and act like you're in on the joke so people start talking about you, and then we're going to release the album. That is 100% their strategy,
and then
we're
going to be on Call Her Daddy, and what's great is you're going like a right after Chapel Roan, if you heard of her, and it's going to be like a night and day difference of likability.
And you should take that out. Phoebe, you don't understand. People are going to come for you.
Caroline, I'm trying to protect you. You're the one who always wants to take.
You're right. I am the one who always wants to protect you. I always want to protect you. You're right.
No,
you're so right about that.
You're the one who always wants to take stuff out.
I thought Phoebe was about to say, Caroline, you're the one.
I
literally was like, Phoebe's about to say, Caroline, you're the one who always wants to protect me. Let me protect you. Okay? Now I'm going to protect you. Let me. That's not what she said. Okay. So anyway, Arya, so she's like, you got to finish the book. And he thanks her for pushing him. And oh, wait, it's already finished. He just thanks her for pushing him to finish it. And it's a moment where I'm like, okay, we can cut the sexy tension with a knife, I'd say.
We go to the Dolorantis dungeon and Allie wakes up from a nap. And this is where I'm like, This poor girl.
Caroline,
you're not actually prepared for what is about to happen to Allison DeLaurentis.
I bet I'm not. I honestly, so the way this episode went, that sounds right to me.
She wakes up from a nap and a jewelry, that like song that plays from a jewelry box is playing.
For
she
Elise.
Goes to find it. And she goes to her childhood bedroom, which, by the way, is still decorated exactly as her childhood bedroom. She hasn't changed it.
That is interesting.
Allie, it's sort of like, you know, if it's going to be a guest room, I'm kind of like,
hey,
actually, it's on the national tour stops for the Taylor Swift memorabilia tour.
Oh my God, because of the torture
and you
poets.
Go in there and they're like, this is the bedroom that inspired torture poets.
I thought you were about to say it's on the like Rosewood history tour where they stop. It's sort of like season one American Horror Story where they stop by the murder house all the time. It's
yes,
like that is the De Laurentiis dungeon too.
Oh my God. Wait, you know how in Gilmore Girls there's that one character who's always like, I can never remember his name, but he's the one who's always doing something a little bit different and
yeah.
like making money around the town in different ways. He uh-huh. would have.
He would have a walking tour of Rosewood.
Yeah, something yeah. that goes around. I was driving the other day and down my street, I saw what was immediately recognizable as a hearse. No, there's not really a church. A hearse.
Is there a T on that?
Is there?
I'm asking. I don't know. I always thought there wasn't.
Clue.
But you just, well, look it up. Well,
anyway,
let's fact check it.
You know what I mean.
Let's fact check it in real time. Everyone loves this. Everyone loves a fact check. I don't know though. I'm not
Caroline.
I'm not being a told you so person if I'm right. I just genuinely I would like to know because I say this word kind of often. I'm serious though. I can remember saying it a few times in the past month, so I do want to know how it's said.
It's hearse.
With an E.
But hearse is a different word. Yeah, with an E at the end.
H-U-R-S-T, like our street.
No, hearse. E-A-R.
Ah.
Yeah, I knew that. I just did think there was a T at the end, but there's not. Anyway, immediately recognizable down the street. And I was like, that is so bizarre. I've never seen any. And it was a night. It was like 9 p.m.
Mm-hmm.
Ghost tour. The top of the hearse was cut open and people were standing in the hearse.
Whoa. All
but
right.
I
guess I'm moving to Nashville. It's my new job.
Well,
that's
I'm
my get rich quick
like,
scheme as I'm leading those tours now.
I know that there's like it's country music. Like I'm sure there are ghost stories around the town. It's an old town, but it doesn't look old anymore.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? Like it's not like Boston where you go on a ghost tour and it's like all these buildings from the 1700s have been preserved
mm-hmm.
so that like because historical stuff happened there, so you can get like a creepy sense of the ghosts from the 1700s and 1800s.
Yeah.
In Nashville, it's like they were parked in front of an apartment complex, like a modern looking apartment complex. And I'm just like, that's taking me out of it.
Fee, you have an opportunity to do something really amazing here, though. You know, if this ghost tour keeps coming down.
Dress as a ghost and stand in one of my windows.
Yeah, well, because you remember when I was doing ghost tours, how
yes.
I had to be warned about the couple that they're both like history teachers.
They were afraid Caroline was going to think they were an actual
and,
ghost.
And they like to dress up in colonial garb and stand in the woods right next to the old cemetery, which is the last stop on the tour. And she was like, I do need to warn you about this. And I was like, thank
so funny.
God you did, because I would have pooped myself, probably. I mean, I don't know. Anyway.
But
I'll
anyway,
send you
yeah,
some
I
costume
just,
pieces so you can do it.
Okay, I'm not really in the vantage point of where, but I've only ever seen it once.
Well,
like,
you have legs.
Ghosts?
You're
what
not an actual
hell?
Ghost. You can move. You can
but
go
yeah,
to the
anyway,
spot you need
do
to be
that
in.
Rosewood. They
yeah,
should do that.
Guys,
Rosewood.
Hey, Rosewood Tourism, call us. Okay, so anyway, Allie follows the sound. As Phoebe said, it's in her childhood bedroom, and she hears a creak. I wrote, it seems to be her mother, because it is covered in dirt, of course, but it is Justine. And Allie freaks out, drops
well,
the music
the phone
box.
Rings.
The mirror
first
breaks.
First, the phone rings and she answers.
No, that's
and
after
and she says,
this.
Is someone there?
That's after this.
And then Justine answers and said, did you miss me?
Yes, but
which
I'm
was
like.
The name of the episode last week. So
yes,
I'm like, guys, you botched this.
Yeah, they actually botched that. I would not have like known that was Justine's voice though, because she goes, did you miss me? In the phone. I'm like, if I'm Allie, I'm like, ah! I'm like dropping the phone. I'm like, ah!
The parallels between A Lyrical Christmas Carol, the production at the Hazlitt Theater for the
right.
last however many decades.
Well, the ones that I was in at least.
Well, I'm sure. Something tells me that production probably looks exactly the same.
No, it doesn't. It doesn't have the magic anymore that people like me brought to it. That's a cursed show, a cursed place.
All I mean,
and I don't care who knows it. Hey, and I don't care who knows
it. I'm sure the production looks exactly the same.
And I'm sure all those kids are just as traumatized as they were 20 years ago.
And just like me watching it in the audience.
Yeah,
guys,
exactly.
I've said this before.
Your villain origin story.
I would beg not to go to that show.
Yeah, classic.
Or at least miss the beginning and the end of it.
But then when I would beg not to go to Phoebe's band concerts, it was like, Caroline, be supportive. I was like, what? Phoebe literally would go to Christmas Carol. No.
But I was always dragged there.
She was so scared.
I would always
liar. What if I'm scared? What if I'm scared of the band concert?
Mom and Dad would say what they said to me, and they'd say, "Too fucking bad."
No,
it's fake.
No, it's different with me. It's different with me because my fears aren't always just contained inside my own body; they affect others.
Tell me about it.
I know you know. That's why I'm saying it. As for example, if you were just, I don't know, sleep in a room with me, you might be affected.
So Emily comes over and they start having a heart-to-heart about grief. And then Emily's like, yeah, so when I was affected by grief, I didn't really, like, hallucinate stuff like this. So, but maybe, I just feel like the painkillers are, like, really
but
strong.
But Emily did say, she was like, I did have a dream about my dad after his funeral where, like, he came to say goodbye. And she's like, I knew that it wasn't real, but it still felt like he did come visit me. And so maybe that's like, it's the closure you needed. Like, she's not getting, hey, no. I saw Jesse caked in dirt. Yeah. Like, caked in dirt, talking like a demon from hell. So it's not really the same.
Allie's like, it wasn't really like, if the dream from the hospital bed had been the last dream, that would be different. But this one was, she was like, this was not a good dream.
No. And it looks like someone is watching them through the window. So it's like, was someone in the house?
Allie says, I hate that you have to babysit me. And girl, so does she.
Yeah. And also, Allie, since when? Your whole thing is that you've needed to be, like, if you had a babysitter, half of this show wouldn't be happening. They're like, no, well, unfortunately, there were a lot of years when it turns out you did need a baby. We didn't think you did. You did need a babysitter and you didn't have one. And we are now paying for that. So, no, you won't be living life with no babysitter probably ever again, Al. Anyway.
So we go to the brew and Toby's helping with the election party setup.
Can I say something?
Yeah.
Kind of iconic that the Hastings get the Radley, the bougie ass Radley. And we got to be at the brew here.
But I do have to say, Ezra, what's your end game?
Oh, good point. Oh, yeah. Whose side are you on, Z?
Who'd you vote for?
Who'd you vote for, Z? You know what? Z didn't
vote. Vivi?
Because Z, sorry, no offense, everyone. Z can't vote in this election.
Wait, he doesn't want to give up his generational wealth, but he wants to act like he's like frontline.
That's what I'm saying. Yeah. He's
Piper
vote.
From White Lotus.
Yeah. Oh, my God. And I'm sorry. We're also going to talk about White Lotus on this weekend's podcast, and we're going to talk about the onstage and offstage drama, because holy shit, have you been seeing the like tabloids about what's been going on behind the scenes?
About
that's
the composer?
No. Nope. Here's a teaser, you guys.
Well, I saw that Walton and the girl, they don't follow each other anymore.
I know,
but I haven't gotten
more.
Any details.
There's
on
more.
That.
Well, he literally blocked her, or she blocked him.
How do we know that?
Because you can't, she's not tagged in any of his shit anymore, and you can't like tag her. Like she was tagged.
And he's married.
And he's married. And then he blocks her, and then he posts an 18 slide Instagram story with photos of them to the song Silver Spring. If I have a wife, I'm like, oh, not doing that. But also, Jason Isaacs, is that his name? And Carrie Coon and multiple other people, I think Amy Lou, have also gone on interviews and stuff and said that the drama offstage was really intense, that there were romances, there were friendships, there were falling outs. That Jason Isaacs was like, you know, sometimes when a bunch of people like bring their different methods to the cast, like they don't always like mesh, and you get an actual White Lotus like off screen. And then Carrie Coon was like, it's like theater camp. And she was like, I'm sure we'll all like kiss and be friends at the premiere. But like, yeah, I don't like, we're not. It was not a super pleasant like filming experience. And they were like, you know, there's a lot of alcohol, a lot of people away from their families for a really long time in Thailand with everything that Thailand has to offer. Like we all went a little bit insane and like our relationship suffered. Like they literally, multiple people are talking about this. They're saying like, yeah, there was drama. And then Mike White went on and called the composer a bitch on Howard Stern this week. He's like, yeah, that was a bitch move. And
yeah.
Then you've got the Walton Goggins and Amy. So there's a lot and we're going to talk about it all. So put a pin in that. Okay. So Toby and Yvonne are setting up at the brew and Toby is like going to be helping with everything, it seems. And Yvonne's like, you know, like we already consider you part of a family. And then he's like, oh, and by the way, I can't make it to the party. And she's like, oh, that's, by the way, that's not okay. By the way, that's not an option for you, boyfriend, pre-fiance.
Yeah. And he's like, I have to help someone. Someone.
Oh,
and
my Yvonne God.
Yvonne goes, is it someone named Spencer?
And, and bingo. Speak of the devil, we go back to the Hastings castle and Mona Vanderwaal walks in and she goes, hi. And Spencer goes, you must be. Because I can't think of another reason you'd be crazy enough to show up here, which I love.
Mona says, after what we both went through, I think you'd be a little more sensitive to the use of the word crazy.
Yeah, she's like, okay, we're Mona. Considering okay, we're both Mona. Ex-Radley patients. I'm like, that's right. Put her on blast in her own house. But Mona's like, look, I'm here. I'm voting for Vivi. I want her to win. I want to help. And she says to Spencer a line that I love. She says, I'm not the enemy. I haven't been for a long time. And I'm like, yes, put your power together. You guys don't understand how much power you could wield, you know?
And you know who gets the first shirt? Mona, because she immediately starts phone banking.
Yes, immediately. And I am a little bit like, let's keep a close eye on this, but like, good for Mona. Road Warriors, can we get real for a second? I want to talk about the massive effect stress can have on your hormones. And who better to talk about this than me, a certified stressed out girly?
It's true. Stress plays a huge factor in hormones. In between work and life and everything else, it's easy to feel totally out of balance. And we can't be the only ones.
That's where Happy Mammoth comes in. They offer a free 2-minute quiz that can help you uncover the root cause of your hormonal symptoms. It's super easy. Just answer a few questions about what you're going through and where you're at in life.
And the best part, after taking the quiz, you'll get a personalized recommendation to help balance your hormones and start feeling better. Y'all know we love Happy Mammoth, so obviously we took the quiz and it gave us personalized insights into what might be happening with our hormones.
You know, it's not a competition, Phoebe, but I finished the quiz in literally 30 seconds, so it couldn't be easier. Based on my symptoms, it seems I'm overflowing with estrogen, and their recommendation was, drumroll please,
hormone harmony. Taking care of your hormones isn't just about feeling good right now. It's about investing in your long-term health. By taking the hormone quiz, you'll learn more about your hormone balance and can make small, intentional changes to support your body.
Whether it's with Hormone Harmony or another Happy Mammoth product, the quiz helps guide you towards solutions that work specifically for you. So, ready to start feeling like yourself again?
Head on over to happymammoth.com and take their free 2-minute hormone quiz to find the ultimate answer to your stubborn hormonal issues. And for a limited time, you can also get 15% off your entire first order with my code PrettyLittlePodcast at checkout.
That's happymammoth.com and use the code PrettyLittlePodcast for 15% off today.
Yeah. We go back to the brew and Toby's like, look, I can't tell you why I'm helping Spencer. Which, Toby, you needed an excuse.
Hey,
you
Toby.
You needed something.
You have to.
You needed a plan. Yeah, also, like Caleb's going to be nowhere to be seen. So why couldn't Caleb have been your, like, alibi? Why couldn't you've been like, yeah, I have to help Caleb with something?
Right. It's so true.
Have like an explanation.
Well, maybe because Yvonne and Caleb are friends, and what if Yvonne was like, no, I'm texting Caleb and saying this has to wait. Like, and she'd probably be like, well, Caleb's supposed to be with Spencer. You know what I mean? Like, Caleb's gonna be with Spencer's family, so what could you possibly need to help her? Like, I understand.
Well, that's how big of an emergency it is.
Yeah,
and
I
then
guess.
And Caleb would be in on it, obviously.
Yeah,
because
yeah.
Hannah's life is on the line.
But Yvonne has a fabulous line. Toby goes, I don't want to lie to you. Please don't ask me again. And I would have been like, okay, we're done. And Yvonne says, I won't let you turn me into the woman who says, pick me, not her. You go, Yvonne. You go. Because low-key, I think Spencer's about to be that woman to Caleb.
Yeah. We go to the Lost Woods Resort, long time no see, and Caleb is building the fence. And guys, Hannah knows what a Phillips head is. It's the star tip.
She's been in this game for quite some time, okay? She knows what a freaking screwdriver is. And she dated
a guy named Caleb.
And a guy named Travis.
Loves the screwdrivers. And a guy named Travis.
She loves the bad boys.
And so basically what we have set up, and it's, well, first Caleb is like, have you thought any about Lucas's offer? They're kind of talking like they're a couple here.
Yes, they are.
I might add. But then he explains that he's setting up a motion sensor that will set off lights and a camera so that they can get a picture of whoever is running towards the fence. And the fence is going to always be on, which
yes.
sounds like that could bite us in the butt later on.
It does kind of sound like that. He also says here, we get our new name for A. He goes, we'll get a photo of Amoji. Oh, my God. I mean, literally, it was right there. It was right there the whole time.
I didn't even think of that.
It's such a good name, Amoji. So that's how we'll be referring to A from here on out.
And they have another little moment of like, they laugh. And they're like, we didn't know what to call it. And Caleb's like, Anyway, it's kind of sweet and kind of nerve-wracking considering he's in a relationship.
Well, I feel fine.
And she's in an engaged relationship.
I actually don't feel nervous at all. I don't feel nervous at all. I feel light as a feather. I feel like I'm walking on air. So Aria's on the phone. Allison is asleep. And Aria's talking to Hannah. And I was like, whoa, not Aria saying something genuinely kind to Hannah. She says, Hannah, thank you for doing this. You're a lot braver than I am. I'm like, you know what? It's good to hear you finally say it.
But what I do, I do have like a mean note about Aria. Because
okay, me too.
She like later or earlier, Emily like didn't agree with Allie labeling what they're doing as like babysitting Allie. Like yeah. she wouldn't call it that. She was like, no, I'm being here for my friend who's going through something.
Yeah.
Aria calls it babysitting. Aria is like, Emily's babysitting Allie. So, and it's just like.
And then she's like, and so I'm here making her read my book. Like, I'm also like, oh my God, you brought your book over. It's giving Hannah from Girls. I brought my novel over for you to read while I watch you read it while you're supposed to be babysitting somebody else.
And it's
yes,
also like
I'm gonna call it babysitting.
300 pages.
300 pages. Can you read any faster, Em? Oh my God, you know Aria was like, okay, I know you didn't go to college, but do you really read this slow?
It's 300 pages, but it's also like it's like in a manuscript, so it's fully like they're full.
Yeah, they're
pages.
Like 8 by 10
like pages of a book.
And Aria's like, well, we had a limit for the publisher, so I did cheat the margins a little bit, so we are using every ounce of space on the page. She's like, I went ahead and I actually rewrote Ezra's chapters too, just to see, like, because I want to see what like a normal person would think, like, what do you like better?
If you could read, both. If someone who's like, I don't know, like someone who gets their reading recommendations from like People's Magazine.
Yeah.
I wanted to kind of get your opinion on that.
I wanted
that.
To get just
and
like
then,
a plebeian kind of, you know, someone who's just.
And then I'll ask Spencer later.
I'll ask Spencer later once I decide, but I'm just going to have Spencer read my own because I know she is going to like them better. So there's like no point in showing her Z's, honestly. She likes a female voice. She just does. So Aria is, yeah, making Emily read the book, and she's like, I'm nervous that my pages are too honest. Of course you are. Of course you're nervous about that. She goes, I was writing from Nicole's perspective, yeah. but, like, I tried to pull from my feelings for Liam to write it, but at a certain point I couldn't do that, so I did have to pull from my feelings for Ezra, and so I'm just afraid that, like, he's going to be able to tell, and Liam is hurt by reading these pages. And to that I say, so did you tell Liam? That you've been pulling from your relationship with Ezra? Because he doesn't even know. Yeah, like, what do you mean? It hurts Liam to read the pages.
What you could point to is, like, you already used that, that like, memory they all had from being at the airport together
yeah.
with the man in the hat. So it's, like.
Right.
And it's believable that you would be using your experiences. But it's also about framing. If you were to frame it, like, my feelings for Liam weren't enough for me to write a good
then
book,
yeah.
so I had to go back on him. I feel like
he might be hurt.
But if you were to frame it and be like, I just like all great writers do, like all adventurous women do, I'm
do,
just pulling
yeah.
from every life experience
yes.
I've had.
But I'm gonna even.
But that's not how Aria's doing it.
I'm gonna give you another suggestion here. That's even easier. She could just be like, it's not my perspective. I'm literally writing about from another woman's perspective, so none of this is me. I used an experience from our relationship for this one chapter, but then I had all these, since I've been working with Ezra, we've had a zillion conversations about this, so now I feel like I know enough and I'm not writing from my perspective. Like, it just wouldn't be that hard to not hurt Liam with this. you know, like, but, and yet,
but it is for Aria.
But it is for Aria. Oh my God.
And so then we pan to Allie. She's asleep in not her childhood bedroom, her real room. And then she seems to wake up to Rollins at first, is what we maybe think.
Yeah. But you thought.
It's Wilden's corpse.
I mean, and I will say, like, Wilden's looking pretty lively to me. Like, I didn't even realize it was a corpse until later when I saw the bullet holes when he was, like, standing fully up. I was absolutely floored by this. Wilden's, like, in the bed, and she freaks out, obviously. Then Emily and Aria run to find Alice, and they find her sitting next to the dresser, and she's, like, hiding. And they're like, listen, it's a bad dream. And I do kind of hate that. Like, I know that, like, this sounds ridiculous. This isn't happening. But they just keep being like, Allie, it's not real. Like, they keep being like, oh, my God, Allison, it's literally a dream.
You're crazy.
Like, you need to stop. Like,
you're crazy.
Yeah. And they kind of just, like, look at her like she's crazy. So Emily's going to call Elliot.
So we go to the barn, and Caleb.
Caleb.
Caleb and Spencer are getting dressed. And
Caleb's sitting naked in the bed. Spencer's sitting on the floor doing her makeup. And when Caleb stands up, I saw his butt crack.
I did think that was wild.
They're showing a lot of skin in this episode. I need to say it. Okay. Like, yeah, they're like, we're adults now. We're showing skin. We're showing freaking cleave. I know. We're showing butt cleave.
Spencer, like, takes off her, like, robe, whatever she's wearing. And I was like, Jesus Christ.
I was like, I don't need to know that she has back dimples. But, like,
is
good for you.
Is this an HBO show?
Literally,
it's HBO.
Okay, am I watching Girls?
Series?
Is this a crossover episode with Girls? Where's Lena Dunham? Literally. We see Spencer in her underwear, and Caleb's checking her out. These are her skanky underwear, as Phoebe said. And he's like, can you even wear underwear with the dress that tight? As she puts on her dress, and I'm like, you're kind of bold to be in here flirting with Spencer like this when you know as well as I do you're hoping to get your rocks off with Hannah tonight.
And also, hey, Caleb, I don't think you're supposed to be on the premises.
I think if Daddy Hastings catches you here, his gun is going to be making an appearance. And it's not the emoji kind, okay? It's not the emoji kind. He sounds kind of jealous about her doing stuff with Toby.
And speaking of the devil.
The literal devil.
Daddy Hastings. And he knocks. And where does Caleb leave from?
I have no idea, but I wanted Daddy Hastings to go, I see you! Literally. Like, that's such a good I see you moment. Same with Allie when she sees her dead mom and Wilden in the house. I see you.
Hey guys, something crazy happens. Spencer accidentally said I love you to Caleb.
For a second I forgot they haven't said that yet.
It wasn't an accident, but I wish.
I was like, what are we thinking? I for some reason thought that had already happened. And then when I realized I was nervous. But anyway, Daddy Hastings wants a moment alone with Spencer. And so he's going to wait for Caleb to leave. Elliot is on the phone with Allison. He cannot believe that Emily would leave her when she's being paid to babysit. But Emily had to go vote.
I'm being absolutely pissed about this. I hate the way Rollins treats Emily.
I do too. And I hate Rollins. And I had a bad feeling about you from the get-go. Nice try, Al. Anyway, Allie is just like holding a picture of Cece, looking at this picture of Cece. And then she sees caked with their Jesty in the yard and says, you're not real, which is the new one. I see you. You're not real. No, you're not real. You're not real. You're not real. You're not real.
We're like an episode away from Allie walking through Rosewood Times Square with her hands over her head.
No, stupid, hitting herself in the head. She's like, stop it, Allie. Stop it. And there it is. We knew we couldn't go one episode without it. There it is. Will Robert Durst come with us to season 7? Probably. We just rewatched that SNL sketch, the improv group with Robert Durst. And it just, I'm sorry.
Which started
it's
this all.
So funny. They're like, so Robert, tell us about you. He's like, well, I got pitch black eyes and I don't know, I'm a psycho. I don't know. I got pitch black eyes and I don't know, I'm a psycho.
Which is exactly how he I don't know.
I don't know. I'm a psycho. Yeah. And then I went to Wegmans and I got a chicken salad sandwich. I stole it. I had $400,000 in the car. I just didn't want to pay for it. I don't know. I'm a psycho.
That will always be the craziest. Everything about that story is crazy. He tells on himself while he's going to the bathroom. That's pretty crazy.
because for some reason for me, it's the fact that he decided to steal a sandwich.
I had $400,000 in the car. I just didn't want to pay for it. I don't know. I'm a psycho. Kate McKinnon doing it is so funny.
So, Allie's like, I'm not going to sleep till you're back, Elliot. And then that's when we see Jess in the window and Wilden in the house.
And Wilden in the house. Okay, this is giving, like, okay, bear, like, okay, or man, like, who would you rather have in the house? Justy!
If I feel awake and alert and I turn around and I come face to face with not only, like, someone, not someone from my past who's dead, not only that, but, like, a physically fit-looking man.
A hottie? If I turn around and see a hottie? Well, yeah. I'm freaking out a little bit.
Put away the things that will break.
If that happens, then the music box needs to be shut and put in the other room safely. I can't risk breaking it again, okay? I'm also like, this is so much more sinister, too, when you really think about it, because we never, like, addressed it again, but, like, Wilden, like, raped Allie when she was a kid and put a baby in her. So that's something that we don't really, like, talk about anymore. But that happened, and that is crazy, and I just think, as hard as I am on Allie, and I think I'm getting more sympathy because I'm watching Gossip Girl with Anthony right now, and he has no sympathy for Blair, and I'm just like, you're insane.
It's because
he's blinded by Serena. He's just in love with her. He thinks it's me and him. He's being like, but they're us, babe. Anyway, I told you that. But I keep explaining to him, like, why Blair is actually the superhero of the story. He's not really getting it. But anyway, I just, like,
Caroline's like, because you, for some reason, are projecting me onto Serena, yeah. But I'm a Blair at my core.
Yeah, I'm like, how dare you? Like, I'm like, Blair's had trauma. He's like, what? He doesn't believe that. I was like, oh, I don't know. Like, her dad leaving her mother for his business partner, who's a man, and then moving across the country across the world, so she never sees him again.
How about
her best friend sleeping with her boyfriend? How about the eating disorder she has? How about when her best friend just left her for an entire year without saying goodbye or saying anything to her after she slept with her boyfriend, her first love, and her parents went through a divorce the whole time? How about what Chuck's doing to her?
To be fair to Anthony, I know you guys aren't on season
we're
one
on season
anymore,
two.
Season one, Blair, I mean, that like brunch, like, or whatever, where she says the thing about Serena being in the whatever, or like, that's actually a really good moment for Serena. When she says the thing about her brother being in the whatever center.
Yeah.
And then Serena's like, no, actually it was me.
That is a tough moment. But it's also like,
and then that
smarter
moment when he, what's his name? The brother's name?
Eric.
When Eric tells Blair that he was the one in the center, and that's when you're like, but the difference between Serena and Blair is that for every bad thing that Blair does, there's an equally as human moment where she feels bad about it. Whereas Serena, you never see any remorse.
And also, sorry, Blair has actually, like, experienced trauma, and, like, Serena really.
Well, Serena's brother, that would be traumatic.
Yeah, but she wasn't there for it. That's why she came home. She literally left and was not there for any of that. How do we know that didn't contribute? You know what I mean? Like, she's just so selfish. She's so like, me, me, me. I killed someone. I have to leave. And it's like, and Anthony's blaming that fully on Georgina. He's like, well, that was Georgina. I was like, no. Serena made the choice right after the Shepherd wedding, right after she fucked Nate. She went to the hotel with Georgina and that guy, knowing what was going on there. She just happened to be in a state of emotional distress, and like, she didn't kill the guy, but like, she did. She was that person. He's like, she's not a bad person. I'm like, she's not a bad person, but her whole thing is that she's like the party girl. She's like the bad girl. Like, that's her entire thing. And he's like, well, not in the show. He can't get over it. And I'm just like, I'm like, what about Yale? What about Serena taking Blair? Like, what Serena did to Blair with Yale? Like, Serena started it. And also, I just, Blair just has more growth. Like, Blair well, also sure. Okay, whatever. I'm off this now.
we get to talk about the show for like three more years.
That's true. I can't wait because I have so much to say. I keep seeing, like, when I'm watching, I keep wanting to text you things, and then I'm like, no, save it. I'm like, you'll remember this thought in a year. Just say it then. But we're gonna have so much fun with the show. But what I wanted to say though is that, like, I'm starting to feel some sympathy for Allie. Because, like, I'm really just looking at everything she's been through. Granted, she was a tyrant before that, but, like, she never stood a chance, you know?
No.
And, like, Wilden being, it's so just, like, go, so sinister.
We go to the brew and we just get a quick clip of Yvonne declining Toby's call.
And Toby's shirt is wrinkled as fuck.
We go to the
wait. This was weird though. He's voting at the high school and he helps a woman into his car, into her car, and she says, "Thank you, pretty eyes." Isn't that what he was called before?
Yeah, by that waitress. I think it's just like, I think it's just a little like nod for the fans. I think
it's like a crazy nod though, because it was such a like major thing at the time that it immediately makes me think like, well, what's her story? We're never gonna see her again. But I'm like, what's her story?
So we go to Ezra's loft.
I thought Aria wasn't wearing pants.
She may as well not be. Not for long.
She's not for long. Yep.
We go there and Ezra's on the phone with Jillian and Aria is immediately, I mean, this scene, I wrote this down at the end, but like, she is just Rory in this entire, Rory Gilmore in this entire
scene. Oh my God,
scene.
You're 100% because right.
This is actually written it's Rory and like Dean. A Gilmore Girls thing. The way Ezra is like saying, We did it. The book is approved. Like all this stuff, and Arya's not listening. She's just saying she hated my chapter. She hated all this. This is so terrible. I'm gonna get fired. And Ezra's like, no, we're good. And then she kisses him.
And the second she finds out that Jillian did like her chapters, she's in an amazing mood and she wants to do it. She's horny. That actually turns her on, and she's like, "Let's fuck, let's bone." And then they do
make out, and it's a classic. It's the first kiss was giving. When Arya kissed Wes, like it was like a quick like
yeah, it was good,
which is Arya's like whole thing,
and that is the thing with them though, like they do have such good chemistry, like
yeah,
you know, they really just do, and this scene is one of those moments where, and like,
what I think the scene was missing, if we're gonna be an HBO original series, this episode
was Full Frontal.
Yeah, that's what I was thinking.
I just felt like that it was missing some Full Frontal.
No, I mean, it was missing the classic. I think this would have been a nice full circle moment if they had done the sheet.
Oh, that would have been good. Well, I felt like they had a little bit of that with him lifting her up and putting her on the counter. It was giving him lifting her and putting her on the bathroom counter at the bar in their first episode.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But I agree with you. That would have been a good moment. But now, but the thing is, they didn't need to do the sheet thing because they show her whole back and kind of her front the whole time. So it's like, they're like, we're actually taking a step forward. We're not going to have a sheet there and we're just going to show you. Anyway, so, but by the way, also, we learned, though, that they are going to be marketing the fuck out of this book. They have, they said they're going to do a release at Christmas. They're doing a book tour, TV rights, and a prequel. Arya's like, oh my God, I'm going to be on television. I'm going to be a famous actress. I'm going to start my trail to an EGOT with this. Of course I am.
They're like, well, Arya's literally like, well, they're obviously going to cast me as Nicole. Who do you think they're going to cast as you?
Maybe your brother Wes? He has the look. Liam. My Liam.
They're saying this is their pillow talk after they've had sex. She's so like, wait, Liam can do it.
Who do you think? How should I do my hair? Should I get extensions? Grow it out. Anyway, so Caleb and Hannah are walking into a room at the Lost Woods, and he goes, this feels like a hostel. I stayed out in Budapest. I'm like, oh my God. But it triggers Hannah, and she has a flashback, and it turns out they broke up right before Budapest.
We get so much backstory Caroline, did it just destroy you?
Oh, it destroyed me. It destroyed me, all right. Oh, my God. Okay, so here's what we got, you guys. We get this flashback, and Caleb is upset because they have this trip plan, this like massive trip. They've had it planned for 3 months. They're going to all these European countries, and Hannah's like, well, I'm still coming. I can't go to Budapest. I'm just going to have to meet you after, or whatever she says. And he's like, listen, if you don't come for the whole thing, like, it's done. I just feel like your life is on a loop. I'm not even part of it anymore. I want you to say no to your boss and go to Europe with me. And she's just like, I can't do that. And he says,
part of me is just like, Caleb.
I feel the same.
I know this sucks, but like,
giving Craig and
she's
Paige.
At a point in her career where it's just like, she can't just say no to her boss.
Exactly.
Most people are never at a point in their career.
Can just say no to their boss without losing their job. And quite frankly, she's not in a position to lose her job. She doesn't know if there will be another one. Like, this is like her opportunity, her moment. Yeah. And so it's like giving secret hater. It's giving, she was dating a secret hater for a little bit.
Yeah, but Caleb does, like, there's a middle ground here that I think they're both refusing to go to, of like, she did miss Caleb's birthday. She missed New Year's Eve. Like, she's missing all these things, and she's not, I'm sure there are ways that she could try to include Caleb. well, in the things that she's missing these things for in a different way.
Not that he wants to.
That's
the thing, though, is I think we've also seen Hannah include Caleb in moments and him be fucking mad as hell about it and be a jerk and like ruin Hannah's time. But it's also got, I bet you she does invite him sometimes and he says no. And it's like, well, okay, you know, or he comes and yeah. it's like worse that he comes. And so they're just, it's sort of that moment of like right person, wrong time. And that is why I do think it's not the rule. There are exceptions to the rule. But I feel like for most couples, like, you should break up and go to college and have your own college experience. And then like, truly, if it is meant to be, it will be. Like me and Anthony are a perfect proof of that. Like, it wasn't the same, but I used to hear stories about that, about people like being like, and we broke up and we just said, and I was like, that's insane that you would do that. Like, what if you lose that? And it's like, no, that's kind of the point. It really will happen if it's supposed to. And I just feel like they needed to break up for a little bit. And so he says, if you go, I'm not going to be here when you come back. And she's like, no, we'll work it out like we always do. And then she leaves. And now we come back to the present.
And Hannah's distraught. And Caleb thinks it's because of A, but it's another. It's not.
It's another where do you go just now moment.
Yeah. I'm like, okay, what did Hannah look like while she was remembering this entire thing?
I would love to know for like at least 2.5 minutes. He promises her she's going to be safe.
We go to Allie's house and Emily is there to check on Allison. And then she gets a FaceTime from Elliot. He has his phone set up on a tripod so that you're seeing like his full torso again. Like,
and there's no shaking. It's really a high quality setup.
Why do we have to be doing video chats? It's
no,
crazy.
I know.
And he's like, where's Allie? And she's like, no clue, brother. Not a clue.
He is not happy. So now we're at the Radley. It is tied, you guys, 49-49, Vivi and her opponent. And Spencer's on the phone with Melissa.
Like, Daddy Hastings is just our dad. Because of his whole mannerisms in this entire scene when he comes over and he brings over the champagne glasses and he's like. Yeah.
Yes.
Everything that he says is articulated exactly.
When he's being a good dude. When he's being a good dude. Not when he's a sociopath. But he says to Vivi, so win or lose, you ran a smart, passionate campaign and I couldn't be prouder.
Maybe I got it all wrong.
Okay, never mind. He'd be like, well, win or barely win. that's the vibe. So Spencer's phone rings. It's Emily, and Emily tells her they can't find Allison. They search the whole neighborhood. And Emily's like, can you come help me look? And Spencer's like, obviously not.
I thought that was insane. Emily says, can you help me? What?
What do you mean, can I help you? Of course I can't. I'm freaking
busy.
Spencer
is in the middle of two incredibly pivotal things. One, she's there with her family. We're neck and neck.
We're freaking neck and neck. If you're a swimmer, you should know what that means.
And she, like... Emily, you know what she has to do tonight.
Yes.
Like, these are
exactly.
all
part. Sorry, she's doing her part.
Your job
this
tonight.
Was your part. Yeah, exactly.
Your job was to babysit.
Just because you
Allie
didn't do your section
you
of the group
her.
Project does not mean Spencer is just going to do it. Well, yes, it does, but not in the group project of life. Okay? Not in this specific group project. And Emily's like, okay, well, I don't know. Like, where would you go if you wanted to feel safe? And then we see the Rosewood Church, and I'm like, and that is not where I would go. If I wanted to feel safe, the Rosewood Church where CC died was pushed off a bell tower is actually not where I'm going.
Then we see that Allie is actually doing what we were just pretending that she might be doing in Times Square. Aww. She's doing that in the church.
Oh my God. Exactly.
They're not real.
They're not real. Exactly. And we
Sorry,
go back.
If I'm like a parishioner at this church and I walk in to like do a rosary or something and I hear that and the lights are dim and someone just died here, I'm outie. And I'm suing.
So Ari is at the motel with Hannah. And she asks Hannah if she needs anything. And Hannah says a whiskey and diet would be nice. And now Aria's going to go help Z with the strobe lights. And it's just Caleb and Hannah here. And Caleb's like, you're really brave. And Hannah says, someone had to be the bait. And he says, didn't have to be you. Yes, but yes, it always is.
I love that he said that. But Hannah's like, man, really are not in tune to how
you're really not getting
here.
It, huh? You
it
still
had,
don't get it,
it didn't
it, huh?
have to be me.
Yeah, who else would it have been? I know Spencer probably weaves a web that it's always her, but... It's not. So Hannah's like, look, you've never let me down before, but I've let you down. And she brings up the night of their big fight and their breakup, and she says there's something that he doesn't know.
Does this just destroy you?
Yes, we get the flashback. She's in the back of a cab and she's like, what have I done, sweet Jesus? What have I done? Become a thief in the night, become a dog on the run. Yeah, it is very Sex and the City. It's very How to Lose a Guy in 10 Days. That's what it really is. Mm. Because you know there's this exact scene where they're on the bridge and she gets out. Yes. And she runs. Or is it him? I don't remember. Anyway, so we get this flashback. It's raining. She's in traffic. She calls Caleb. He doesn't answer. She leaves the taxi, runs through the streets of New York, like soaking Caleb. Wet.
You little asshole. I know. You couldn't have answered the phone.
And, like, and not to mention, well, yeah, because he doesn't have his phone.
Oh, right.
I was more like, you little so bitch, shitty. You already took everything out of the closet. Like, you're gone that fast. Like, this is a little hasty, don't you think? You had time. You knew she was going.
She gets there and she's like, Caleb, I'm sorry. Caleb, I'm sorry. And he's gone.
All of a sudden,
he's gone. And she says, if I had just been a minute earlier. And then, she does
pick up his phone.
Caleb is the screensaver.
And it's like old Caleb. It's like long hair Caleb. Where she's like on his back. It's so cute. But I'm also like, did he leave his phone here because he's going to go get a new number so she can't contact him again? Like, is that why he did that? To like make a fucking point?
He needs to go backpacking with no.
Yeah, he needs to unplug. He needs some. But then how would he meet up with Spencer, you know?
Well, it was serendipity, remember?
Oh, right. Sorry. So, yeah, she says, if I had come back a few minutes later or never left, earlier or never left, things might be so different now. And he says, they might be.
She says, I never.
You're rushing. You're jumping the gun. You're jumping. I'm going to go through the entire. I have it right in front of me.
Okay, go ahead.
And then he says, they might be. And then she says, I never stopped loving you. And then he wipes her tears and they kiss. And it takes forever for them to kiss. It's giving Bella and Edward kissing. And I just was like, yeah. The fist pump heard around the world.
I wrote, okay, slut Caleb. It's kind of slutty, Caleb.
It's kind of slutty, but go for it. But freaking go for it. I love it. I love it. I'm only a slut shamer when I want to be.
And then Z comes in and he's like, I cannot tell Aria about this. She's not gonna
Aria's not gonna be cool about this one. Okay. So yeah, I'll keep this between us. So he comes back, he's like, we're ready. Spencer and Toby are in the basement of the Radley now. She starts counting her steps to get to the door of the secret room. And she gets there. Classic. And they're like, we have to like drill through this. We have to saw through this. And she's like, I'll use the power saw. Because he taught her. And she remembers how she had a good teacher.
Good teacher.
Yeah. And then we're back at the motel. And Hannah texts emoji that she's at the Lost Woods Resort alone. And I do want to say, like, do we really think this still works? Like, you guys really think, like, A doesn't know you're not alone? I'm just like, seriously? Like, at this point.
And Hannah, that you would pick this place?
And why would you say I'm, like, I just think it's so dumb. I'm like, come on. In all our years. I know that you had to have people with you for safety, but it's just like.
Spoiler, guys, it doesn't work.
Yeah.
We go to the church and Allie is on the floor praying, and it looks like she needs an exorcism.
It really does.
Rough.
She looks so
fucked up. And Emily finds
her,
and Allie says, I knew they wouldn't follow me here. Okay,
whatever that means.
Okay. And that's what Emily says. Emily's like, okay, whatever.
Emily's means. Like, right, I forgot. This Allie is one of your personality Allie traits says, now.
They're going to take me. They're going to drag me straight to hell.
Yeah, they're going to drag me straight to hell. She's like, I can't tell what's real anymore. And she needs help. So she's going to get it. Spencer and Toby have the hole made in the wall to the secret room. And then they see a shadow, and of fucking course fucking it's Mona, but also of course Toby's packing. Toby pulls out a gun. He's like, get back. I'm like, first of all, why are you making noise right away? Like, why are you yelling immediately? Like, wait to see what it is.
What if it's a ghost?
What if it's a ghost? But it's actually Mona Vanderwaal. Mona, how did you get down here?
And I just love her. She's not scared of a fucking thing. Like, she's always
anything.
She's always like the person who's like wearing the pants in any situation.
Yes.
Like, it doesn't matter where they are. She's like, I can handle it.
Literally. Spencer's like, Mona, are you still stalking us? And Mona's like, oh my God, get over yourself, Spencer. She's like, I'm just curious. I just like want to know how the story ends. The story that I wrote ends. I would like to know. So they all go in the room together, and it's like all these empty shelves with cobwebs, and there's a really big file for the one and only Mary Drake, which is the name that Phoebe beeped out last week.
Yes. And then we go to the Lost Woods Resort.
We should probably say who it is. So she was a patient here 25 years ago. And she had a child while she was in Radley. And named that child Charles Drake. And that child was then adopted by Justy and Kenneth DeLaurentis. And we also found out that Charlotte and Jason are the same age. So just some a little that, minor details.
I love that it's Justy and Kenneth DeLaurentis.
Well, yes.
Then we go to the Lost Woods Resort. And we see that someone is watching and... Someone's on their way.
Someone's always watching.
fall into their trap. And then...
They fall into their own trap. Classic.
They fall into their own trap and they're like, wait, no one's here. And then they run back for
Aria. Aria is confused, though, because it's like a lot of flashing lights and pictures, but she knows that she just signed a TV book deal. So she thought it was the Paps. She's like, guys, don't worry. It's just the Paps. He found me and Z.
That's Caroline when she goes for a walk uptown.
It is me. And really anywhere. Really anywhere in the world.
So this is giving Gone Girl because Hannah is Gone Girl. And there should be no way out. They sealed the past tense of seal.
It sure is. Yeah, it's not sealed. They sold it off. It's sealed. It's just thrown ED on there. Yep. It's we don't gotta change the vowels. It doesn't sound right.
Doesn't sound right.
Okay. Well, I'm not surprised to hear you say that, Hurst. But but you're wrong,
guys. I lately every time my mom has sent like pictures that I did when I was a kid, and you know how elementary school teachers would write the word that you meant above the word that you spelled.
Your teachers didn't do that because they could not figure it out for the life of them.
No, they definitely didn't. It's always above just about every word. But I like, what a gift that I gave those teachers. Imagine the laughs that they had around like the kitchen table while their spouse was like making dinner. They were probably like, oh my God.
Is it as funny as our cousin Max, who had to at school draw a picture for Twist. They had to draw pictures for all these vocab words in first grade.
Like, what the
How
fuck
do you draw Twist?
That?
I would probably do the Twist and Shout, I guess. I probably wouldn't do what Max did, but I respect it.
No, definitely not.
Max
would be like,
Max drew a picture of twisting nipples. Of him twisting his brother's nipples, which is fucking iconic.
I think it might have even been reversed. I think that his brother's doing that to him.
Well, either way, there is nipple twisting happening on the first grade worksheet. Okay.
All these comments on our aunt's post was like, that is a youngest boy if I've ever seen it.
It is so funny. I mean, it's just so funny. That's when we always quote, am I Boss Baby or Kermit? Same kid.
That's Max.
Same good.
Boss Baby or Kermit.
I love it. So yeah, Hannah's gone. They can't tell how she got out. We go to the hospital and it's actually a mental rehabilitation center. It's not the Radley, obviously.
I do think potentially we've jumped the gun.
With coming here?
I think we could have slept on it. Well, maybe. I think maybe. We could have waited till like allegedly the spouse that we trust. And here's the thing. I do believe this would have happened regardless. But if I'm Emily, I'm like,
well, here's what I'm going
to
say.
I'm not going to immediately check you in to a mental facility.
Well, and she doesn't. It seems like this is what Allie wants. And Emily does try to stop her.
True.
She's like, hang on. Are we sure? But I'm also like, if I'm Elliot, I'm like, don't take her there because I'm a fucking bad guy and I wouldn't hurt her. So I am like, this is probably, I mean, historically these places aren't the safest for these people to be, but like in my mind, this is probably safer than like walking the streets for Allie or like anywhere else, honestly, because even the husband that you're saying she trusts, she shouldn't, you know,
stay in the space of optimism.
Why should I do that? I watched the last scene of the episode.
Cause it's going to come crashing down.
Well, of course it is. But I'm just saying that I don't know. Whatever. Anyway.
This is where Charlotte was, by the way. This place is called Welby, I think, if I remember correctly. This is where Charlotte was, and she got better, is what Allie said. That's why she
was. Oh, well, then never mind. I forgot that this is where Charlotte was, and now I'm like, bad idea.
We go to Radley, and Daddy Hastings introduces our new state senator, Vivi Hastings.
Vivi
won! And that's what it's going to say under her senatorial portrait. Vivi Hastings.
Vivi Hastings. And it's hilarious to me that Toby is like here clapping and cheering with Spencer.
He voted for Veep.
No, literally, I want to see Toby Kavanaugh's ballot. Show me Toby Kavanaugh's ballot. I want to see
and
all their ballots.
Ezra's.
Yeah, and Ezra's.
Arya didn't vote either. Ezra and Arya were like, oh, we were just so busy, we forgot. Wait, today's election? You guys pay attention to that
today's
stuff?
Today's election day? I only vote in the big ones.
It's just like, I'm only going to vote until like socialism's on the ballot. So
right, exactly.
Then, like,
I'm
kind of out.
Kind of out of it. So anyway, we find out. Spencer's phone rings. It's Arya. And Spencer like makes a mad dash. It's giving Carrie Coon running away from the guns in the last episode of White Lotus.
Which was, by the way,
so fucking
does
funny.
Does Carrie Coon know... Did she, was it like, I wonder if there was a moment on set where Carrie made the decision to be like, I'm going to book it as fast as I fucking can.
She
and
spoke
kind of
about
like
it.
A funny way.
She was said,
she, what did she say?
She said it was not a conversation because she said that, like, if you watch it, a lot of people were like, is this direction? Because each of the three women does like exactly what I would expect that woman to do. And Carrie Coon was like, no, there was no discussion about it. We all, they were, it was like, there's a gun, just like run. And it really is a testament to how strong the character development is in the show that like each of the women without being directed responded exactly the way that their character really would. Like it really felt that way,
right.
Especially Carrie Coon and that making her, and she was like, no, it's America. Americans know what to do when they hear a gun. Like, yeah.
Unless you're whatever the other ones
we're kind
are.
Of pros. Yeah. She says, I'm a New Yorker. Fear's my life. Quote from Rent.
And that drama has a shirt that says that.
And drama does have a shirt that says that and a tattoo. Ooh, yeah, I didn't know about that, but we're talking about it tonight at dinner as a family. Okay, so anyway.
She tells Spencer that Hannah's missing, and we go back to the Lost Woods Resort, and Caleb is crashing out.
I mean, And it's also, it's like part of this is like he promised her she was going to be safe. Like he gave her his word. They just reconciled. Like he's like, I can't lose her again. Like there's just, and then it's also like he's let Spencer down. Like it's just, oh, there's so much going on here. And he does a really nice job. Like from an actor perspective, Tyler Blackburn really pulls this off nicely. And I'm just like, how did we miss the tunnel on the floor? You know, like, I'm like, when we, like, cased the joint and made sure this was a good hiding spot, how do we miss the, like, 4x4 tunnel in the floor? And yeah. My next question is, none of us are going down there? It's obviously where Hannah is.
Aria?
Get.
Hey, Aria?
Go, like, make, like, do a pencil jump down the hole. What are you waiting for? Aria, you're the smallest one. And
you said you wanted to be brave.
I imagine Aria's like, don't look at me. Earlier. Don't look at me. I know I'm the smallest one. That's why I shouldn't go down there. I might get lost. Okay? You might not be able to find me.
It's like a needle in a haystack when I get into a tunnel.
I don't know. My hair is dark. Her hair is blonde. You'll see her. Anyway.
Just go for it. And then we start. This is so funny. Spencer and Toby come in. And then Mona is behind them.
Well, of course.
And Caleb looks at Spencer and goes, why the hell did you bring her here?
He's so mad. He's like, and this is why we're breaking up. This is why I didn't say I love you back.
Spencer. It's like this moment with Spencer where she's like, wait.
What just happened?
Yikes, my relationship might not be in a good spot.
She's like, wait,
anymore.
I left you alone for 5 minutes. I was with my ex-boyfriend and great, here we go. So the video then, there's like
guys,
a video.
We'll talk about this more on Friday or on our next Tuesday episode. Our dad has recently become, I mean, he's really been into Twitter recently, but he will send in our family group messages or to us individually these like animal videos. I got a dog video yesterday. We just got one sent to us. The handle awkward Google.
Yep.
Interesting things.
I got a dance video
Nobody
last week.
Nobody has ever had as much fun at a party as these two are having at this party. Laughing emoji with the triangle eyes.
Dad's in that?
And it's, yes. And it's, these animal, it's a dog playing a piano and a baby dancing.
I'm sorry, who is he? Who is he? Can you respond? Who are you? Anyway, so they're checking the footage because obviously we have this whole town rigged for the big moment, and the video downloads from Caleb's security system, and it's just them first, and then
Which
they see someone.
By the way.
And they're like, can that even be possible? And they pause it. There's like a split second where we see who it is. It's Justy.
Wow.
It's Justy.
Is that
so
Jessica De Laurentiis?
We're back at Allie's house and we're just seeing Wilden. And I'm sorry, this is crazy. Go ahead.
Wilden takes off his Scooby-Doo mask.
It's a little bit. Elliot. How much did that mask cost? That is a nice high quality mask.
Here's what I want to say about these masks is that they rip them off their face in a way where they dad just sent me another tweet individually.
Dad, we're busy.
And so he's peeling it off and the mask is like coming apart. So yeah. I'm like, how many
was it single use?
But also they're so realistic that I'm like, these had to have been thousands and thousands. But we know that they have a lot of access to money now.
They're flush with cash. And by the way, Elliot O'Grady's British.
He's British.
O'Grady's British.
And I want to know if the actor was British or American.
Okay, let's find out.
I think he's British because every time he spoke in an American accent, it felt very like, I am speaking in an American
accent.
And that's
why I thought he was a bad guy, because I was like, there's something off about you. Little did I know, he's just faking being American. There's someone else here.
Mary Drake, and she says that she signed the papers.
Mary Drake, by the way, we didn't say this, identical to Justy. So that's really crucial to know. Mary Drake.
So do it that way you will.
Mary Drake, when Elliot thought she was seeing her mom this whole time, that was Mary Drake, not Justy. Okay.
Because Allie signed those papers, Elliot now controls 51% of the Karasimi group.
Fucking crazy.
And then Mary Drake says, you're the only man my daughter ever loved. And he says, I would have done anything for her.
Charlotte. He says, I would have done anything for Charlotte.
She says, you proved that when you married her cousin.
Ouch.
And then she says, now we can take back what was meant to be mine. And
Jesus
he says,
Christ.
What our Charlotte would have wanted.
Insane.
I'm like, man. They said, we got signed on for two more seasons. We're going to need the most stereotypically annoying and predictable villains we could ever come up with. And that's what these two people
are.
Are
you joking? They're not stereotypical at all. This is crazy.
No, they there's something. No. Okay, I know how we got here isn't, but their whole
you just
arc
mean like,
is of like
okay.
An evil British man.
Yeah.
They like need to take back what is there. They're these ousted members of this family.
Yeah.
All this stuff.
And like a doppelganger woman. Yeah. So all the liars except Hannah get a text that says, thanks for giving me Hannah. You're free to go. Signed A.D.
A.D.
Anthony DeAngelis. Oh, fuck. Okay, we're going to have a convo tonight. Great.
Man, dinner's going to be busy for y'all.
Dinner's going to be busy tonight. Drama gets the first half, and then we'll get into these texts Anthony's been sending. But we're back at the church, and we see Hannah's lifeless body being dragged with flowers and a bloody freaking lip. Not happy. Okay?
And she has flowers. She's holding flowers to
also.
Her chest. Oh.
Okay. Yep. It's okay. So that is the season 6 finale. That was crazy. Can't imagine where it goes from here, but I never really could. I'm gonna read the synopsis for season 7 episode 1, but remember you guys, that episode isn't coming until May 1st. Okay. So it's called TikTok Bitches. After Hannah's kidnapping by Uber A, the PLLs and company desperately race against the clock to save one of their own. Why didn't we just say emoji? Oh, now I know what AD is. Duh. Now I know. Well, of course I know. Everyone ruined that a long time ago.
Which,
anyway,
by the way, I'm never going to forgive people for.
I know.
But you still aren't going to believe it.
No, I won't. I don't know how we get there, but I do know. Yeah. Okay, so quick reminder, though, you guys. Episodes for this week. Next week, you're getting our 30 Things I Learned Before 30 birthday podcast anniversary episode on Wednesday. After that, you'll get a podcast on the 22nd. You will get a Pretty Little Punch Bowl on the 24th. And then you will get a podcast on the 29th. And season 7, episode 1 on May 1st. So stay tuned. Obviously, we've got our Patreon scheduled programming throughout the weekends of April. And if you're missing us this week or next week, go sign up for the Patreon. We have tons and tons of content. Some of it is Pretty Little Liars. If that's what you're mainly interested in, you can find it there. Thank you guys so much. Please leave us a review. And thank you so much for being with us through 6 seasons. That's kind of insane that we have 6 seasons of episodes of our own show recorded. And we're heading into season 7. And it's only up from here, you guys. So just stick with us forever. And we promise we'll make it worth it. Love you guys so much. We'll see you next week for the 3-year anniversary of the Pretty Little Podcast. And
splat.